Well, amen. That is a tremendous truth right there, as God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and we need to yield our thoughts and our ways to His. And so, praise the Lord. Thank you for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 6. Genesis in chapter 6. A little bit different than our normal on Wednesday nights. We'd normally be preaching on Joshua, but tonight we're going to have our missions budget meeting in just a little bit. But leading up to that, I believe the Lord would have me to present this truth and found in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7. So go ahead and stand with me tonight and we'll read the Word of God together. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. That's how long it took for Noah to build the ark, 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for the privilege to be back in church. And Lord, I pray that as we have looked into your word and we have read this account of scripture that you've given to me, that we might be able to understand at least partially why we have that recorded and preserved for us to learn from. I pray that you bless and empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. What an account of Scripture. God giving us history as to humanity. And he revealed to us what happened to the pre-flood society. And can I tell you that what happened to the pre-flood society will happen to any society without the influence of God. The influence of God is more powerful than what most people would want to think, especially an atheist or those who do not want to acknowledge God in how they live their lives. They want to live however they want to live, and even though they not might believe in some form of a God, they do not give him the position that he should hold in the world, in the lives of all people. So we find here Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 2 tells us that the population of the earth was growing. But it wasn't growing the way it should have been growing. It was growing numerically. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God. Now, what are the sons of God? That would have been those that would believe in God. Those that would have been a godly seed. Those, if you will, that were maybe the descendants of Seth. Because we find over in the book of Genesis in chapter 4 in verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So we find here that Seth, all the children of his ancestry would have been those that would call upon God, acknowledging the reality of a creator God. That would be the sons of God. They saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You soon find out after marriage, possibly, that it's not all about looks. It's not all about physical attraction, although that's what allows you to, first of all, desire relationship. But it should be much more than that when you decide to become one and have a desire to live the rest of your lives as one. And so these daughters would have been descendants of Cain, who followed in the footsteps of Adam in his sins. Was not influenced by spiritual Adam, but that was influenced and judged accordingly by God for his sins. And so we know that those would be the two types of people that were there in the beginning of creation and what was on the earth, and that were multiplying, continuing to multiply on the face of the earth. The godly line, if you would, of those who called upon God, and the ungodly line of humanist that followed into the same direction that Eve did, and then Adam, when he was attracted to follow Eve and what she had done because of Satan's influence. Now realize, Satan was here on the earth. And he was influencing. He influenced Eve. If you go back just a couple chapters here, and again, you're going to see how this plays into what we're doing here tonight. But in chapter 3, in verses 1 through 4, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made, and then said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's trying to discredit God, trying to get her to turn away from God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You don't understand God, and you don't understand how you're to live. And so you don't have to live by the Bible, and you don't have to live by the fact that there is a mighty, almighty God who has a design plan for your life and wants you to live a certain way to represent him. And so we find that's exactly the mentality that caused Eve to sin against God, caused Eve to do what God told her not to do. And Adam, knowing of God, and yet he did not want to lose his wife, and he was attracted to her to the place where he would follow and eat of the very same fruit that God had told them not to eat. And that was sin. So leaving there, as population was growing, and there was a godly line and an ungodly line. Eve being the first one to be deceived, but then Cain, after Adam, and then many to follow, being deceived by the devil concerning God and God's will for their lives. So the earth continued to be occupied, and mankind continued to multiply. We don't know how long. We don't know how many people that were on the earth pre-flood. We don't know the technologies. Some believe it was a very civilized society before God destroyed it. Some believe that God actually gave them a lot of more wisdom than maybe even what we have today. Who knows? But we do have this account of a society that occupied the same earth that we occupy and multiplied. To what extent did they have cell phones? Did they have that kind of technology? Did they have other things? Did they have cars? Did they have ways of getting around? And can I tell you, we really don't know. God has not revealed the type of technology, but he reveals human nature, that's the message that we need to get from the pre-flood society, because they were created just like we were created. They had the same sin nature that you and I have. And we know how it ended. We know what took place. What happened to pre-flood society will happen to any society without the influence of God. As they grew, and whatever was taking their time and efforts in society, technology, to whatever it could have been, they were growing farther away from God and relying more on human nature to guide them. The Bible says in verse 4, and sometimes we get confused about this, there were giants in the earth. Now, some looked at that and say, well, that means that there was prehistoric animals and the reptiles and all the different things. I don't think it really means that. I think that this is talking about the types of people. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, there again, those who called upon God, came unto the daughters of men, and they bare them children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So they be very influential. Those that were calling upon God married those that did not want to call upon God, did not want to even believe in God, did not want to have a relationship with God, and they intermingled, and before you know it, those that called upon God stopped calling upon God. And those that wanted to go opposite God became more of the influence on earth than those that actually called upon God. That's what the Bible's telling us. The giants means that they were very great in influence. Now, it could mean that they were also stronger, whatever. I know that Numbers chapter 13, when the spies went into the Canaan, they come back and say there's giants in the land, but they were referring to stronger and larger and bigger men and that type of thing. And so somewhat that same way that's talking about giants here, but people that were strong and had greater influences. So it was those who had the godly line of Seth to those who had the ungodly line of Cain, and they grew. And the numbers, who knows? And this is what happened. Verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's no influence of God. And so man is left up to his own influence. Man is left up to his own desires, his own thoughts, his own way of living. And that led to wickedness, evil imaginations, because there was no conviction. Conviction helps draw you back in. Conviction helps you to realize I got to turn away from that, because that's not the way that God wants me to go. Conviction helps us to walk the straight and narrow. If there's no influence of godliness, there's no conviction. And if there's no conviction of lifestyle, then we're going to go in a lifestyle that is wicked and evil. Everybody follow me here tonight. I mean, this is what the Bible gives us here. Every imagination of his heart, feelings, emotions, desires, lusts, was not godly. It was evil continually. If it's evil, there's no convictions at all. Do you see society leaning toward that? And God said, and it repented of the Lord that he had made. He said, that was not my will for mankind. I gave them a free will, and I gave them opportunity to be influenced. And because they did not follow my will, and they turned against my will, then I'm not going to bless them. I think it's predetermined that what God is going to do, he blesses righteousness and he judges sin. And so because of that, it's not that God changed his mind. It was that now God had to judge man because of the decisions of his free will and the direction that he went. And it grieved him. But he said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, created to fellowship with me, created for my pleasure, created to live right, created to live a godly life, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I had made them. Wickedness follows man's evil imaginations. Believers lost their ability to influence society. All of the godly line of Seth is now gone. All of the godly line of all of the ones that lived that were godly before them, their seed line has now turned to ungodliness. And the only one that held on to a godly testimony was Noah. Out of, I believe, the millions of people that now occupied this planet Earth, because if so many had turned away from God, then the only one that still had the godly mentality to want to call upon the Lord, call upon God to be his God, out of all of that, one influence. And God would give the world 120 years, the time it would take Noah to build the ark, to let this one man and his family have an influence. But no one wanted the influence. They mocked him, made fun of his beliefs and what God had revealed to him. Before it gets that bad again, we have this recorded. We have this. We know what happened to the society on the earth. Before it gets that bad again, there will be a rapture of the church. God's not going to let it get to that place worldwide. Before it gets down to that, because he's got his church, which will be a witness as Noah was a witness. He's got believers in this world that is going to hold on to their faith and going to continue to want to influence the lost to get saved. Can I tell you, that was Noah in the first civilization. Jesus came to establish a church as the light of the world. But the world has to desire the light. The world has to desire the seasoning of the salt. And if they reject it, they'll go in the direction of the society, the pre-flood society. What must we do? It's called the Great Commission. To help the world not to go in the same direction that it went in before God destroyed it with the flood. To give all humanity an opportunity to choose God and not evil continually based on the imaginations of man's heart and mind, but follow after the wisdom of an almighty God. The solution for society is missions. I trust that you was able to get a hold of that, because that's what they missed out on. And they missed out on it because the godly line, the influence of those who wanted to call upon God, they lost out because they intermingled with those that did not want to call upon God. And those that did not want to call upon God had more influence on those that wanted to call upon God. And their children were raised not to call upon God. And then they raised a generation of children that even got worse. And they raised another generation of children that got worse. And it continued to get worse and worse and worse until that God looked and everybody on this earth, except for Noah, was an atheist, a humanist, was guided by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The only thing that will keep human nature from going in that very same direction is missions. It's missions. That's what Jesus came to establish. His church. And through the church, be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and help people to call upon God.